Hi, my name is Jeff Carroll. I'm the Vice President of Compliance for Ship Compliant. We're a software service company for the wine industry based in Boulder, Colorado. You can learn more about Ship Compliant at www.shipcompliant.com.
I'm Jim Gordon. I'm the editor of Wines and Vines magazine. We serve the North American wine industry, so our readers are winemakers and grape growers. You can find out more information at winesandvines.com.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
A press release came across my inbox here recently that I just had to share with you. And it concerns Wines and Vines magazine and a company called Ship Compliant out of Boulder, Colorado, growing at a rate far exceeding the overall growth of the American wine retail sector. Winery to consumer direct shipments of wine grew to $1.57 billion in 2013, according to a report released January 23rd, prepared by Ship Compliant and Wines and Vines. The new report, based on millions of transactions from the calendar year 2013, also detected the first reduction in average price per bottle of wine shipped since the channel was first tracked in 2010. Joining us today on Wine and Dine, Jim Gordon, editor of Wines and Vines, and Jeff Carroll, vice president of Ship Compliant. And let me start by asking Jim Gordon, please. Jim, how did you get involved in this partnership with Ship Compliant?
Thanks, Lynn. It's a good question. The answer is that Wines and Vines has the best database of wineries in North America, and Ship Compliant is at the hub of wineries shipping their wines from California and other states direct to consumers. So they had the information on one end, we had the information on the other, and together we built a model that can tell us how much commerce is happening in direct-to-consumer shipments.
And I understand from this report that's available online at shipcompliant.com/shipping report that about 50% of the total value, dollar value, is from Napa Valley. Sonoma County and Oregon are experiencing explosive growth. So that was one of the questions I had, is this really does represent, at least to the best of your ability, Wines and Vines right now, the participants, wineries across the country?
It does. We break out smaller areas like Napa and Sonoma and California. We have separate data on Oregon. But much of the revenue coming in is from the higher-priced wines in the top quality growing areas, such as Napa, Sonoma, parts of Oregon, other parts of California, Washington, et cetera.
So how does Virginia, wineries from Virginia, North Carolina, Maryland, New York, I mean, do those states figure into this as well, or not so great because the average bottle price is much lower?
Well, they figure in, but I think Jeff could tell you to what degree they figure in.
Yep.
Okay, Jeff, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Lynn. It's great to be here. We work with wineries all across the country, and so absolutely have representation here, not just from the big three states of California, Oregon, and Washington, but 30 states around the country, including those states you mentioned, Virginia, North Carolina, New York. And so we don't break that out necessarily to show the source of those specific regions, because we're very aware of making it all statistically significant and anonymous and that kind of thing. But absolutely, it's representative of wineries all across the country, small, medium, and large.
Okay, so this report examines where wine's being shipped, which type of wineries are shipping. You said small, medium, and large. Which types of wines are most commonly shipped, pricing, and to what states they're being shipped. Are there any states that are significantly out of the picture where people in those states are either not purchasing or not receiving?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's only 40 states plus D.C. that allow direct-to-consumer shipments. So you do have roughly 10 states that just don't allow shipments and won't be represented here in the model. You know, that includes the Utahs, the Mississippis, and the Alabamas, but also two major states that have legislation pending right now, Pennsylvania and Massachusetts
are
not included, but would alter this picture if they did pass laws allowing the direct shipment of wine in those states.
So, Jeff, ShipCompliant is the industry's leading provider of world-class compliance technology solutions, and you integrate with other leading software providers. You basically, how does this work? Do wineries purchase a service from ShipCompliant to take care of all this for them?
That's exactly right. Yeah, ShipCompliant is a software as a service platform. So we have an easy, no commitment, monthly subscription, and that will get you all of your compliance management, compliance checking, end of month reporting. And as you mentioned, it'll be integrated with any system that you use to get orders from your website or to manage your wine club or to accept orders from your tasting room so that we can help them calculate the appropriate amount of tax, make sure those shipments compliant, and then ship it out the door, and then finally report on those shipments.
Are there any, I don't remember the name of the organization that Tom Work's involved with that has to do with the retailers and complaining loudly that they don't get equal shipment capability? What's the name of that organization?
Yeah, it used to be called the Specialty Wine Retailers
Association. Yeah.
They went through a rebranding. I think they're called the National Wine Retailers Association.
So does that include a wine retailer or a spirit retailer as well, or just wineries?
We're talking about wineries here in this report. The U.S.-based, you know, producing wineries, retailers really are not included. There's a challenge with retailers that whereas wineries can ship to 40, 41 states, retailers can only ship to 14 states.
Yeah.
Vastly different market and not a lot of traction from the retailers at this point in time.
Mm. Jim, let me ask you, what is the fastest growing varietals right now from this report?
The biggest ones are Cabernet Sauvignon and then I think Pinot Noir.
From your memory, what about white wines? Is it still Chardonnay is the leader?
Chardonnay, yes, is the leader. So the top five varietals, Cabernet, Pinot Noir, Red Blends, and then Chardonnay, followed by Zinfandel. But
wow.
If you look at the overall growth since 2010, you actually have some things that really stand out. Rosé has grown 91%
Wonderful.
Since 2010, and Sauvignon Blanc has grown 63% since 2010. So it does appear that the mix is changing just ever so slightly.
How about sparkling wines?
Sparkling wines come in around 10th or 12th at this point, but they certainly are growing faster than the average of 29% growth since 2010.
And also, let me ask you here and then switch over to Jim, that the average price per bottle dropped 2013 compared to 2012. Talk to us about that price now and also about what kind of wines people are buying, because this, to me, seems like a high price.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very high price, and I think that's one difference that's important when you look at the direct shipping channel is that in 2012, the average price per bottle was $38.42. When you compare that to an off-premise retail where you're looking at wines that are sold less than $10, it's a pretty different mix of wines that are sold. And we did see that dip in 2013 for the first time. ShipCompliant and Wines and Vines have been tracking this report since 2010. So this is our fourth report.
Wow.
And this was the first time that it actually dipped ever so slightly.
So, Jim, do you think that when people are, the majority of people, when they're buying direct from wineries, that they're trying to get their allocation of these very limited wines?
Yes, it's very focused on rather hard to get high-end, highly rated, you know, fairly expensive wines. And many people cannot find these in their local stores and restaurants, perhaps.
Yeah.
Some places you can. But so they buy them direct from the winery to make sure they get them. And it's so convenient to have it delivered home, as we know. And I just want to note that, you know, it's been almost 10 years since the Granholm-Heald Supreme Court decision that really opened up this market. And, you know, I wish we had some data from around 2005 to see what it was like. But it's really blossomed, and it's growing so well. 7.5% in value over the last year, which is sort of like the growth rate of China. You know, it's a big thing.
I think this is definitely the direction because people want to be able to get what they hear about. It drives people nuts when they can't get something in their local market and they hear about it in an interview or read about it in a newspaper.
Yeah. Some of it is wine clubs. A lot of it is wine clubs. People who visit a winery and sign up for the wine club.
Yeah.
And I belong to a couple of them. It's a really convenient way to get some wines you know you like shipped to you at home. And people are doing searches on the internet to find these, or they're calling the winery and ordering and having it shipped. It's the way to get what you really want.
Lynn, just to expand on that a little bit, if you look at where these wines are, from what type of wineries, almost 50% are being shipped from small wineries. These are wineries in the 5,000 to 50,000 case production range. And these are wineries that might not be able to get distribution.
Yeah.
So it's a very important channel for the small wineries that are just getting started and building their brands.
A lot of the people that I interview are at the 5,000 and under cases even. Well, I'd like to thank so very much Jeff Carroll, Vice President of Ship Compliant, and Jim Gordon, Editor of Wines and Vines. This has been truly our pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thank you so much for having us, Lynn.
We will have links up for you to learn more. You're listening to Wine and Dine. You're listening to iWine Radio.